Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, and what an awesome name that is. And so guide us this morning as we look at another prayer in the Bible, and then as we just yield to your Spirit in response to pray. Bless these moments, Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Well, let's sing a stanza of 192, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 23, and just a question. What prayer in the Bible, nine words long, may well exhibit the greatest faith we see in the Bible? As you're turning to it, I think you'll find it. You might say, well, it was Abraham. Abraham's faith accounted for righteousness. It sure was. But you remember Abraham was taken out and was shown the stars in the sky. That's a pretty awesome sight, isn't it? We have here today in this prayer the thief on the cross. And what did he have to look at but a dying, beaten, bloodied man about to expire? We don't see any of the other disciples having that faith, although they were told over and over again that this was going to happen. And I don't know whether the thief on the cross ever heard anything or not, but this is such a great example of faith, and it's so encouraging, I think, to all of us. And also it just shows the difference between the effect of the gospel on people or the effect of Jesus Christ on people. On one hand, we have this hardened criminal who is just in rebellion and reviling the Lord. And on the other hand, we have the same criminal type, same crime, but he's repentant. He recognizes Jesus is sinless. And what does he say? Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. So what a fantastic exhibition of faith it would seem. Let's begin reading in verse 39 of chapter 23. An inscription is just put over Jesus in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked the first one, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Notice again the difference between these two men. Now, it was prophesied that Jesus would be crucified among the transgressors, and they put him in the middle, which would basically mean he was the most serious criminal of the three. Their venom and their anger is just so unparalleled, isn't it? And so here, both criminals have the same access to Jesus. They're both very close to him. They're within distance of talking to each other, it would seem. And notice the differences in the effect of being near Jesus. One blasphemes him and says, if you're the Christ, save yourself and others. Very selfish prayer and a mocking prayer. No fear of God, no repentance, just hardened heart, right? And we see even near death, trouble and difficulty do not soften a heart necessarily and cause someone to turn to the Lord. We can't say that he wasn't around Jesus because he was hanging on the cross right next to him, right? But the other, in effect, said, be quiet. Do you not even fear God? Seeing you're under the same condemnation, you're going to die too. And then he says, we indeed justly. See the repentance there? We indeed justly. In other words, I have done wrong. I deserve it. It's just that I die. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. What an amazing, amazing difference between these two, right? And he goes further then and cries out to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Nine words, probably or possibly reflecting one of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible. Because put yourself in that position there. They're nailed to a cross. Jesus is beaten beyond recognition. He's dying. Possibly the thief has heard of the Messiah, but even if he had heard of the Messiah, nobody could believe this is the Messiah. The Messiah is dying. They're killing him. Maybe he did come with great anticipations, but that hope is gone now. He's dying. And yet here this thief, led by the Spirit, changed by the Spirit, transformed by the Spirit, says, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Now, it doesn't say that the second thief, the repentant one, knew when Jesus was coming, because he just says, when you come into your kingdom, indicating sometime in the future, probably, but he didn't know when. Was that the great day of resurrection or when? We don't know how much he knew. He just says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Great faith. And Jesus then says, what? Truly, truly, or verily, verily, or assuredly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. What a beautiful response there. So that apparently is the first person saved by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, you can see at the depth of this time of despair, at the peak of the trouble, whatever you want to call it, of Jesus, the Lord basically is just giving him a crown, isn't he? A crown of victory in a sense of he came to die to save sinners. And here's the first example of a saved sinner being saved through his death. And so he says, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Father, we thank you for this powerful, moving experience we see in your scripture. It answers so many questions as to the requirements of meeting man's standards of maybe church membership or maybe being in the club or whatever else, or going to Bible college or whatever else, or being versed in the scriptures necessarily. But we see saved by grace, just saved by grace through faith. And you tell us that in Ephesians 2, for you were saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so, Lord, we thank you for this example. And Lord, help us to have that same repentant faith, that same fear that this man had, and we would cry out, Lord, remember me, remember me. So we come as sinners with nothing to offer, but we also come with the faith of what you have done for us. And now, Lord, we want to spend some time in prayer, praying for the church, praying for this gospel message to go out, praying for the believers to have a fruitfulness in their life. We want to pray for the lost, Lord. We want to pray for those hardened thieves still, so to speak, on the cross, dying and apart from you because of their rebelliousness. And Lord, we want to pray for the healing that you would put in our hearts, all kinds of healing, but primarily for the spiritual healing, I would think, because that is the most important thing with the eternal aspects of it. And Lord, for this nation, for our leaders, for the kings and those in authority throughout the world, for the services that will begin in a few hours to go around the globe, for the pastors to be teaching your word and so forth. And so, Lord, all of these things and others, Lord, we want to lift up to you as led and prompted by your Spirit. Draw us into one accord now and teach us how to pray, to pray, and lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name.